Next presenter is Dr. Irene Kiddo, presenting associations between metabolic syndrome and depression in women, findings from the National Health and Nutritional Examination Survey 2005 to 2008. Dr. Kiddo earned her MS in public health at the University of Alabama Birmingham School of Public Health and a PhD in epidemiology at the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. She completed a postdoctoral fellowship in minority aging at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston, Texas. And she is now an assistant professor for the public health and health education programs at Northern Illinois University. Her most current research focuses on relationship between depression, obesity, and metabolic syndrome using the continuous National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. She has also done spatial analysis of indoor and outdoor pollution and world asthma mortality rates using geographic information system. I welcome Dr. Kiddo to the podium.
Okay, my name is Dr. Arlene Keddie, and I'm presenting on associations between metabolic syndrome and depression using the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey 2005 to 2008. And before I get into this, I'd like to also give credit to my co-author and student, Sheetaldas Pamnani, for all the help that he has given me. And I have no relationships to disclose. And first of all, why should we study metabolic syndrome and why should we study depression? Well, both of them are very highly prevalent conditions in our society. Particularly metabolic syndrome, over a third of adult Americans aged at least 20 are estimated to have metabolic syndrome now. And the prevalence has been going up over the last few decades following the obesity epidemic. And so may go up even higher than this. It's a tremendous number. And when we look at depression, 21% or close to 21% of Americans have had or will have some form of depression in their lifetime. Okay, but why should we study them together? Well, first of all, metabolic syndrome greatly increases the risk of type 2 diabetes, I think by 9 times in some studies. And it also increases the risk of cardiovascular disease. Depression has been found to be associated also with these same conditions. It's therefore possible that depression comes into the picture earlier through an association with metabolic syndrome. And this diagram basically shows the progression from metabolic syndrome to type 2 diabetes, coronary artery disease, and premature death. And depression has been investigated among diabetics, among people who have coronary artery disease. It speeds up the process towards death, but we know less about it earlier in the process. Is it associated with metabolic syndrome? Can we head it off at the pass earlier? So these were my objectives in this analysis. First of all, to ascertain if there's an association between metabolic syndrome and depression in a large and diverse national sample. Secondly, to determine if this association varies by sex. Third, to examine the possibility of a dose response between the number of metabolic syndrome components and the prevalence of depression. As mentioned before, I used data from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, NHANES 2005 to 2008. Now, ever since 1999, NHANES has been collecting data on a continuous basis. They collect it every year, and they release it in 2-year cycles. And it was only beginning in 2005 that they collected data on depression in all adults, okay, who were examined. And this just explains also that there was some oversampling of certain groups of people that varied by the particular cycle. And this diagram basically shows how I ended up with my final analysis sample. Right, the NHANES data includes people of all ages, from infants up to 85 plus, and I'm only studying adults. And I eliminated pregnant women as well for reasons that will be obvious in a few minutes. And I also eliminated anybody who had a history of heart disease or stroke, and anybody who had not fasted for at least 8.5 hours before they had a blood draw, and that was a lot of people, right? Because they basically, NHANES, it's done in two parts. The first part is an interview in the person's home, and then the second part is an actual medical examination. And only if your medical examination is in the morning are you asked to come in fasting. So I got only morning people. And then I finally eliminated about 590 people who were missing data on some of my variables to end up with my final sample of 3,058. Now, what is metabolic syndrome? This was my dependent variable. And metabolic syndrome as defined by the updated NCEP ATP3 criteria and by the American Heart Association consists of at least three out of these five criteria. First of all, a large waist circumference. For men, that means a waist circumference of at least 40 inches. And for women, a waist circumference of at least 35 inches. Secondly, high triglycerides of at least 150. Third, low HDL, less than 40 for men, less than 50 for women. Elevated blood pressure of at least 130 over 85, and elevated fasting glucose of at least 100. Right? If you have three out of those five, then you're considered to have metabolic syndrome. Now, depression was my main independent variable, and it was measured in the NHANES data using the Patient Health Questionnaire, or PHQ-9. And this measures point prevalence of depression. In other words, depressive symptoms within the last 2 weeks only. It basically consists of 9 4-point Likert questions, which are each based on the 9 signs and symptoms of major depression described in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 4th edition. And each one of these items gets a score of 0 to 3, depending on if the person has experienced it at all, not at all, up to most of the time during the last 2 weeks. And then those scores for all the items are summed to get a total score of 0 to 27 for the scale. There also is a 10th question to indicate the extent of impairment in daily life that these symptoms cause. So to be depressed in these analyses, a person had to have at least a PHQ-9 score of at least 10, which indicates at least a moderate level of symptoms. In addition to that, they had to have answered positively at least one or both of the following two items: that they had little interest or pleasure in doing things over the past 2 weeks, and or they've been feeling down, depressed, or hopeless during that time period. And they also had to indicate some level of impairment in their work or social roles because of these symptoms. Now, in my multivariate analyses, I controlled for age, education, leisure time, physical activity, and number of chronic conditions a person had. I did test for other covariates, but none of the other such as race, ethnicity, marital status, so on, but none of the other covariates and smoking. None of the other covariates change the odds ratios. So they weren't really confounders in this data set, so I didn't include them in my final analyses. My statistical analysis consisted of, first of all, logistic regression models stratified on sex between depression and metabolic syndrome. Okay? And then also I did chi-square test for trend to examine the prevalence of depression by number of components of metabolic syndrome, and I did that also stratified on sex, separately for men and women. And I also carried out separate analyses of all the women and all the men, and then I took out the diabetics, because diabetics can be considered to have metabolic syndrome too, although they're at, the process has been going on for longer in them. So here we see the results of the logistic regression analysis in women. And what we see is, at least in the unadjusted analysis, it was not very different when I looked at all women versus women excluding diabetics. I got an odds ratio of about 2.4. In other words, women with metabolic syndrome were about 2.4 times as likely to be depressed compared to women without metabolic syndrome. And then in my adjusted analyses, and there I have a list of the specific chronic conditions that were taken account of: arthritis, asthma, cancer, emphysema, chronic bronchitis, liver condition, thyroid condition, and even diabetes. When I controlled for all of that, basically the association became non-significant among the total group of women. Among the group of women excluding diabetics, it was greatly reduced to 1.6, but still, those variables did not explain all of that association. Now, among men, there was no association whatsoever. No matter whether diabetics were in the data set or not, no matter whether it was unadjusted or adjusted. When I looked at the number of components of metabolic syndrome and the prevalence of depression, now this is the percentage of people who had depression, the red bar being the women and the blue the men. Amongst women, it didn't matter that much whether I included diabetics or not. The pattern for women is essentially the same. As the number of components of metabolic syndrome increases, so does the prevalence of depression, and that was statistically significant for both groups of women. For men, there was no relationship, especially after I excluded the diabetics. Okay, so to summarize the results, depression is associated with metabolic syndrome among women only. And there was little change whether I included diabetics or not. In other words, it comes into the picture even before, it probably comes into the picture before diabetes is even developed. This could be partially accounted for by education, age, physical activity, and number of chronic conditions among non-diabetics. But not totally. The prevalence of depression also increases with the number of components of metabolic syndrome in women. There were some limitations to this study. One of the biggest is the fact that it is cross-sectional data, and therefore no time sequence can be established between the variables. The second thing is there is a possibility of some selection bias here, because most of the sample did not fast. Most of my eligible adult sample, I got about 90% of the fasting sample into this analysis sample, but it was only a third of the total adult sample. And those who fasted, and therefore were eligible, tended to be better educated, more likely to be non-Hispanic whites, more physically active, more likely to be former smokers, people who had quit smoking, and they were more likely to have been diagnosed with metabolic syndrome. But this study does have a number of strengths. It's a recent national sample with a very wide age range. A lot of other studies had a much narrower age range. I have from 20 on up to 85 plus. Several racial ethnic groups. Components of metabolic syndrome were very well measured. None of them were self-reported. The PHQ-9 has both high degree of sensitivity and specificity for clinical depression, 88% for both. And not many other studies have looked at results for both including and excluding diabetics, and this adds to a very inconsistent literature. Future research ideas. Why has this been found only among women? That needs to be looked at more closely. Do some components account for this association more than others? I don't think it's just, for instance, waist circumference, or we wouldn't see the increase with the number of components. But what's going on there? Does the presence of depression among women with metabolic syndrome increase the risk for the negative health consequences of this syndrome? In other words, does it speed up progression to diabetes or cardiovascular disease? And for that, I would need some sort of longitudinal data. Any questions? Oh, questions at the end. That's it. Thank you.